The next town along the Wisconsin Great River Road is Fountain City. Fountain City is a long and narrow town stretching along the base of towering bluffs. The city was named for an actual spring-fed fountain that was once found in the area. High above Fountain City, you'll see Eagle Bluff, rising 550 feet above the river below. The community has a public boat landing, as well as several unique restaurants, shops, and attractions, including Elmer's Toy Car Museum located up on Eagle Bluff. Fountain City is also home to Lock and Dam 5A, and is a great place to watch barge traffic. There is also a floating fishing platform below the dam. This charming river town has a number of activities throughout the year, including Fountain City Days in August and the Old Time Farm Fest on Labor Day weekend. The strangest and perhaps the most popular attraction in Fountain City is the Rock in the House, a play on words based on another famous Wisconsin attraction. Here, for a small donation, you can see where a 55-ton boulder came crashing through the roof of a small house and came to rest in the family's master bedroom. No one was hurt in this particular incident, though the family decided that once was enough when it came to falling boulders, and sold the house to a local man who turned it into a tourist attraction. Just north of Fountain City, you'll find Merrick State Park, a favorite destination for boaters, anglers, and birdwatchers. The park was named for George Merrick, a riverboat pilot from Prescott. An excellent self-guided canoe trail will take paddlers through Merrick State Park's extensive wetlands. Camping is available, and some campsites include places to moor boats and canoes. There's no better place to immerse yourself in the Mississippi River's backwaters than Merrick State Park. Merrick State Park connects with the 2,500-acre Whitman Dam Wildlife Area, part of the vast Whitman Swamp, an area that has gotten a great deal of attention over the past few years due to the writer Kenny Salway, who wrote a book called The Last River Rat, about his experiences hunting and trapping in this area's swamps and backwaters. Throughout your journey along the Wisconsin Great River Road, you will notice a number of buoys at various points in the river channel. These buoys are for the benefit of commercial boat traffic and other large vessels that are navigating the upper Mississippi River. These buoys serve several purposes. Most importantly, they mark the 9-foot channel that is maintained throughout the entire upper Mississippi River. Tugboat pilots know that the red buoys should always be on their right as they travel upstream. The buoys also indicate location along the river channel. With all the twists and bends, it is easy for boats on the river to lose track of where they are at. These markers indicate specific mile markers that can be used by boats on the river to communicate their location to other boaters and the lock and dam operators. The Mississippi River today is a major shipping lane, serving as a means for transporting huge loads of grain, metal ore, scrap metal, and coal. Captain Ron Larson of Fountain City, Wisconsin, spent nearly 50 years piloting boats on the Mississippi River.
Well, I started on the river in 1956. I got my license to pilot in 1969, and I piloted till I retired from piloting towboats and so forth in 1996. So I've been on the river for basically 40 years to start with. I've piloted 27 different towboats, and 13 different excursion boats. And of those, 6 were paddle wheel boats, stern paddle wheel boats. Most of my piloting was pushing barges between St. Paul and St. Louis. And I've gone all the way to New Orleans. I've been on the Ohio River, the Tennessee River, Illinois River, and several others.
Captain Ron Larson explains that pushing thousands of tons of cargo down the Mississippi River is no easy task.
Well, the towboats, we travel about 5 miles an hour. Even going downstream, we don't hurry because you've got all these bends and twists, and you got to slow all that weight, 22,500 tons. And you're going down river, you got to be able to stop it, you know. And so you don't get going very fast. 5 miles an hour, St. Paul to St. Louis, it's approximately 650 miles. So it takes something like, you can figure about a week from the time you leave St. Paul, you'll be down in St. Louis. Then from St. Louis on, there's no more lock and dams, so then you can make a little bit better time.
Barge traffic runs up and down the Mississippi River, carrying a variety of agricultural and industrial products. Again, Captain Ron Larson.
The grain going south, mainly. And then also, they bring a lot of unit trains of Western coal, which is low in sulfur, over to Minneapolis and is loaded in barges and shipped down to power plants along the rivers. So that's coal that goes down the river besides coming up the river. And then there's coming up the river, there's cotton seed that's used in the dairy feed. There's molasses. They call it field molasses, I think. It comes out of the Caribbean. And that's usually offloaded. Those barges were usually offloaded at Dubuque. And then they would steam clean the barge, and then they would load it with lard because it's a big hog slaughtering operation in Dubuque. That lard goes down the river to New Orleans, transloaded into an ocean-going freighter, and shipped over to Japan. And Japanese make cosmetics from that lard. And there's steel products, and there's chemical products, and oil products, and there's insulated barges that carry liquid sulfur, and there's insulated barges that carry anhydrous ammonia, and there's heated barges that carry asphalt.
Piloting a riverboat can be quite challenging and is very different than piloting ships on the ocean. Captain Ron Larson explains that steering a tow that spans several acres down the winding Mississippi River requires a very particular set of skills.
But on the river, no, you got your bends to steer, and you got bridges to go through, and you got locks to make, and you're meeting another vessel. And on the ocean, if you're within a half a mile of another vessel, they consider that an extreme dangerous situation. Here, if we got about 50 to 100 feet of clearance, a lot of times is all we're going to have, and you get used to it. And it makes it interesting. The time goes by in a hurry.
Riverboat pilots use a series of navigational aids to help them safely determine their route. Captain Ron Larson describes the system.
From the head of navigation all the way down to Cairo, which is zero on the upper Mississippi River, there's 369 of those navigation aids. Each one of them has a light. It either flashes once every 5 seconds or a double flash every 5 seconds. Some lights are red, some lights are green, some lights are white. And each one is named, just like if you're coming by here, Fountain City, the first one is Pig Island Light, and then it's Fountain City Light, then it's Rolling Stone Slough Light, and then, missed that one. Then it's Fountain City Bay, and then it's Bass Island Light, and then it's Sherman's Light, and then it's Lock 5. So when we're talking to each other on the radio, we tell them that we're going by Pig Island Light, or we're going by Rolling Stone Light, and they know exactly where we're at.
Please pause the audio tour and continue again after you've passed through Fountain City.